hip your bulletin today. That's very important. There's a lot of good information in there, necessary information, a call to action was in last Sunday's bulletin. So if you need some calls to action, you want to be active, there's some calls to action that needs to be activated. Amen. The office has those. And last Sunday, I want to correct something that I said. Last Sunday during my sermon, I was talking about Crystal's mom giving a vision as she was on her deathbed 3 days from passing away. And during that vision, Crystal's mom saw heaven and saw the beautiful colors, and she was entering into the presence of God as she raised her hands, body full of cancer and a lot of pain. She saw a vision. Well, what I said last Sunday was that she saw a gentleman that she had never met before, D.J. Ligon's father. She'd never met him before. And what I said last Sunday was she saw him by the river fishing. Well, I was corrected when I got home. What she saw was DJ's father sitting by the river. And I added he was fishing, because when you sit by the river, you fish. So anyway, she said, "Baby, do you notice what you said?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "What your mama saw." And I was there. I was there in the room. And you know how sometimes say more than we should, or sometimes we don't say enough. But at any rate, I want to stand corrected this morning in that she saw Mr. Reeves by the river sitting. Amen. Isn't it good? Talking about the rapture, talking about the second coming of Christ, and talking about the plans that he has for his church, for his people. And for some, it would seem that being ready for the rapture, being ready for the second coming is a fearful thing, because, oh my goodness, Jesus is coming back, and what am I going to do? Well, it's an exciting time for those who are Christians. Why? Because that's who's coming back for. And I believe that's the key reason to why Jesus hasn't already come back, is that he said that he wanted the gospel preached to every person in the entire world. There's an organization that's working on the different languages of the Word of God to carry it to other languages so that every person will hear the gospel. And there, at the last count, there were 2,100 more languages that they're going to have it translated into. I only knew of 2 or 3 languages. I was thinking, you know, hey, this should have been done a long time ago. But there are 2,100 more for them to have those translated into. And then they expect by 2025 for that to be complete so that they reach the end of the world. And so we know that God's word is going around the world like never before, via internet, via Facebook, via YouTube. And thank God for those tools that we have that we can use for the glory of God. Amen. And so I'll continue on today in part 3 of the series that I've titled Forever Ready, Being Forever Ready. So when Jesus does come, the Bible says no man knows the day nor the hour. But when it does happen, we're ready. You don't plan a trip and say, we're going to go out of town next week and wait till 30 minutes before time to get ready to go. You plan. You make your arrangements. You ask for time off of work. You make sure your appointments are working around those times that you're off work. And so this is the most important event of our entire lifetime, of the entire world, is the second coming of Christ. And I know I've been told all of my life that Jesus is coming soon. Well, you know what? Jesus is coming soon. And so we're to be ready. God's called us to be ready. And sometimes we lose the reality of heaven and hell in that. We think that everything is good, everything's great, and, you know, I'm for one for encouraging people. So to preach a sermon that possibly may grip your heart, I have to say, God, give me the words to say, which I say that every single Sunday, believe it or not. God, give me the words to say. But when it's something against my natural ability to deliver, talking about the second coming of Christ, and something that may very well scare you, I want to reemphasize that Jesus didn't come to put fear in our hearts. He came to put love in our hearts. Because he loves us so much, he wants us to be with him. And so if we lose the reality of heaven and hell, we'll also lose the reality of the work that Jesus Christ did for the salvation of us so that we will be with him for eternity. That's why he came. This is a temporary moment. These 60, 70, 80, 120 years, however long we're here on earth, this is temporary. This is a dressed rehearsal that the Lord is preparing us to get us ready for eternity, that we're forever with him. And so that we've got to keep that in mind. We've got to keep the reality of things in mind and not think, well, everything is beautiful in its own. I mean, yeah, that's good. That's a good song. But the reality is, we've got to do some things to enjoy the beauty of the blessings that God has given us. And there's a price to pay for that. For me to achieve what God has called me to do, there's going to be work that I must do to receive those blessings. Amen? And so the series is taken out of Matthew 24, verse 44. It says, therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that your word is to prepare us. It's our instructions. God, we're to do what you've called us to do. So, Lord, I pray that today, as our hearts and our minds and our spirits are open to you and to your word, that you will do the work that you want to do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have you ever given warning to your children or those that you're over, stepchildren or nieces and nephews? Have you ever given warning to your children before? Of course we have. And in that warning, I mean, we raised two, and now we've got four grandchildren, and the fun that we have and all the fun that we do together, there are always warnings. Be careful, don't step out into the roadway. We're going into a store, and Bailey wants to take off one way, or Silas wants to take off one way. Hold my hand, be careful. Why do I need to hold your hand? Because there could be cars coming along here, driving too fast, don't see you, and could hit you. So there are dangers that we warn our children, those that we care for, we warn them about. And when we give them those potential dangers, when we give those potential things that they need to be prepared for, whether they happen or not, when we give that to them, doesn't mean that we've taken all the fun out of their life. There are dangers, there are potential things that you need to be aware of, but you can't have any more fun. That's not true, right? It's that we want them to be careful and to be aware of dangers so that they're prepared and so that they're careful. And so it is with the Word of God. He's given us warning to take heed for certain things. Now today's going to be a real involved time in these next few moments. And so in that, with that being said, I want to remind you of our hope in Jesus. There's some things that in the Word of God that there have been precious time spent talking about what I'm going to talk about today in the Word of God. And I'm going to show it to you. There's going to be a bunch of scriptures. And you can take notes or you can sign up for the pastor's letter that's sent out on Wednesdays. Usually it's sent out on Wednesdays, and it kind of highlights everything I say today. They transpose it, they put it in place, and Crystal edits it and gets it all perfect. And she knows what I'm trying to say when I'm saying something I shouldn't say or whatever. So anyway, Crystal gets that finalized and edits it and puts it together, and then Miss Jean sends it out. So if you can't take notes quick enough today, at least it'll be in a letter form if you want to get that on Wednesday. But in those, in the dangers, there we also have a promise. We also have a hope. What is our hope? Our hope is Jesus Christ. So I'm not giving you a sermon today so that you're hopeless. I'm giving you a sermon today so that you'll know you have hope. So that you know my heart. And you know I believe what the heart of Christ is. And that is in John 16:33, he says, these things I have spoken to you. Now, this is Jesus talking. These things I have spoken to you that in me, that's Jesus, capital M, you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I, Jesus, I have overcome the world. Jesus is our hope. He's our hope today. He's our hope tomorrow. He's our hope in the situation that we're seeing in right now. He's the hope that we will possibly face in the days, weeks, months ahead. Jesus is our hope. In the timeline that Jesus is coming back, we've talked these last few weeks that in the timeline of that, there's going to be a rapture, a carrying away of the church. And now you'll hear differences of opinion because the Bible can be interpreted in different ways. The fact of the matter is there will be a rapture and there will be a tribulation time. That's clearly spelled out in the Word. Now, which will come first? Yes. And so I believe that Jesus will catch us away before the 7 years time of tribulation that we'll read about and study about today. Others will say it's going to be the tribulation and the carrying away of the church. At any rate, Jesus is our hope. And so today we pick up halfway through the 7 year of tribulation period. It says in Mark 13:14, so when you see the abomination. My goodness, sometimes words are just too difficult. It just went, or just that quick. Remember last Sunday that happened too, and Crystal bailed me out. Thank you, Elder Denny. So when you see the abomination of desolation, say that three times as fast as you can. When you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, in parentheses you see, let the reader understand. That's where we're going today. We're going to understand what he's saying. Let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Now, Daniel has a vision. We're going to touch on this vision today, and it's very involved. It's very detailed. You'll find out today where some of the monsters and all come from Hollywood. They got some of this out of the Word of God, and then they put their own little spin on it. But Daniel had a vision. We'll get into that a little bit in these next few moments. But the abomination of desolation that is referred to here in Daniel, he's talking about the Antichrist, also in Mark 13:14. It's the Antichrist. It's blasphemy before God. There will be a Antichrist to come, and we're going to talk about the characteristics of the Antichrist. Why are we going to spend time today talk about the characteristics of the Antichrist? So that we will know, so that as Mark has instructed us to understand. Why? So when it happens, you'll say, that's in the Word of God. God said, even Daniel in the vision said that this would happen. These are characteristics of things to look for. There again, Jesus is giving us warning. Why? Because he loves his children. Amen? He's our hope. And so this prophecy was spoken about 200 years before Christ in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. It says, then he shall confirm a covenant with many for a week. But in the middle of the week, that's in the middle of the tribulation period, in the middle of the seven-year period of tribulation, but in the middle of the week he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abominations, there's that hard word again, abominations shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate. That's a lot of words, but you'll understand where we're going in just a moment. Dropping down to chapter 12 of Daniel, verse 11, and from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation, the Antichrist, is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Guess how long that is? 3.5 years. Then, here in Daniel 11:31, about 170 B.C. before Christ, and forces, verse 31 of Daniel 11, and forces shall be mustered by him, and they shall defile the sanctuary fortress, and they shall take away the daily sacrifices, and place there the abomination of desolation. Mark says, let the reader understand. These are words that it's difficult for us to put mind pictures to. But I believe that through the words of Daniel that we'll see this today. 1 John 2:18 says, little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, you may want to underline that. Antichrist is not mentioned much in the Word of God. There it is in 1 John 2:18. The Antichrist is coming, and even now many Antichrists. I believe that the devil will use many people to have ready, because the devil doesn't know Jesus is coming. But he's got little Antichrist who could speak up at any moment and who can step in and say something when it needs to be said, whether it's on the news channels, whether it's in the newspapers, whether it's in Washington, D.C. He's got little Antichrist. As we see here, there's one Antichrist, capital A, and there are many Antichrist, little a. The devil has demons. He has angels too. Even now, many Antichrists have come, but by which we know that this is the last hour. Ultimately, there'll be one Antichrist, as I've just said, in Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Now I saw when the Lamb," this is when the Antichrist is being introduced, verses 1 and 2 of Revelation 6, "saw when the Lamb," capital L, "opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures," we'll talk more about the living creatures in just a moment, these monsters, "saying with a voice like thunder, 'Come and see.' And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer." Daniel gets real specific on these four monsters in Daniel chapter 7, verses 2 and 3. Are y'all with me? Okay. Daniel 7, 2 and 3. "Daniel spoke, saying, 'I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea, and four great beasts came up from the sea, each different from the other.'" These are frightening monsters. They're not common. They're out of the ordinary. And so he describes the first one in Daniel 7:4. Daniel 7:4 says, "The first one was like a lion." Well, that's normal enough. "He had eagle's wings. I watched till its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and man's heart was given to it." That's the first. The second is described in Daniel 7:5, the next verse. "And suddenly another beast, a second like a bear, was raised up on one side and had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth. And they said thus to it, 'Arise, devour much flesh.'" The third one is described in Daniel 7:6, the next verse, "As after I looked, and there was another like a leopard, which had on its back four wings of a bird. The beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it." And the fourth one, in verses 7 and 8 of Daniel 7, "After this I saw in the beast in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast," this is all he could say about it, "dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. And I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one, coming up among them, before whom three of the first horns were plucked out by the roots, and there in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking pompous words." God gave Daniel all this detail. You can't dream that stuff up. And at the end of this vision, Daniel was exhausted. He was tired. He was shot. He was a little shaken. Can you imagine waking up out of that dream? So Daniel was, he was really shaken. And so there are some characteristics even further in the Word of God I want to give you. And the first one, hope you have enough paper. If you don't, wait till Wednesday to get the letter. He persecutes Christians. The Antichrist persecutes Christians. The devil hates Christians. I don't know if you knew that or not. The devil hates Christians, and the Antichrist hates Christians. Whatever he can press against, and we know that the devil seeks whom he may devour. That's the devil's job. And the Antichrist will be sent out to do the same thing. He hates Christians. Daniel 7:21 says, "I was watching, and the same one was making the war against the saints." Who are the saints? Children of God. Christians. "And prevailing against them." Verse 25 of Daniel 7, "He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, Antichrist will speak words against God and shall persecute the saints of the Most High. So the Antichrist hates Christians. Second, he rules the earth. He rules the earth. As I said, 1 Peter 5:8 warns that the devil is seeking who he can destroy. The devil is going around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The Antichrist will also be sent in the same spirit. He rules the earth. Daniel 7:23 and 24. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth. So these beasts are more than animals. They're actually going to be in the governmental system of the world. A fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all the other kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth, trample it, break it into pieces. Verse 24 of Daniel 7, the ten horns are ten kings, whom shall arise from this kingdom, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be different from the first ones, and shall subdue three kings. He rules the earth. Three, he changes the calendar. What does the calendar have to do with all this? Well, our calendar is set up in 7 days. Isn't that interesting? If we had to set up a calendar today, how many knows that it probably would consist of something besides 7 days? Why? Because seven is known as it's the Judeo calendar. It's a Christian, a Christ number, seven. And so the Antichrist, when he steps in, he will do all he can to move those numbers around to where maybe we have 6 days in the week, maybe we have 4 days in the week. It'll be interesting when all this happens. There again, I pray we'll all be in heaven and be worshiping God while all this is going on earth. But we've got to be together in heaven, right? So we need to make sure each of us know what's coming and also tell others what's about to come. But he changes the calendar. It could be any number of things. Our calendar right now points to God. Do you think the Antichrist wants our calendar pointing to God? Isn't it interesting that this is year 2021. You know how many years ago Jesus was on earth? 2021 years ago. So our time began at the time of Christ. If the Antichrist can, he will move those numbers around. He'll have a calendar starting at this point or that point or when he takes over. That'll be the first year. Whatever can be done to change the calendar, the Bible says in Daniel 7:25, shall intend to change times and law, the second half of verse 25. Intend to change times and law, then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time of 3.5 years. The fourth is the Antichrist is devil-led. He's been mentored by the devil. He's been trained by the devil. He's devil-led. This Antichrist will understand occultic issues. We think Hitler had a fascination with the cult. Well, this will be hyped up a lot more than what we saw Hitler used. Antichrist, it'll be a whole new level. Daniel 8:23-24 says, in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors have reached their fullness, a king shall arise, have fierce features, who understands sinister schemes. He'll speak well. He'll be liked. He'll be charismatic. His power, in verse 24, shall be mighty, but not by his own. If he's not led by God, who's he led by? He shall destroy fearfully and shall prosper and thrive. He shall destroy the mighty and also the holy people. That's the people who are left on earth, who are seeking Jesus Christ even after the rapture has taken place. We'll talk about that more in just a moment. Number five, he's considered a god. The Antichrist will be considered a god. He'll identify himself as a god, but he'll also be recognized around the world as a god as well. He'll exalt himself, and the world will exalt him too. Oh, he's so smart. He recites the things from the past. How can he remember so many things? How can he talk this way? How can he be so eloquent in his speech? How can he be so charismatic, this person? He'll be recognized as God. It says it in verse 36 of Daniel 11. Then the king shall do according to his own will. He shall exalt and magnify himself above every god, shall speak blasphemies against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the wrath has been accomplished, for what has been determined shall be done. 6, he will have no respect for family. He will have no respect for family. Family unit will mean nothing. He'll place no significance. As a matter of fact, he'll do all he can to divide and to take families apart. Family will have no honor, will have no purpose. Family values, he will not be bound to any family values or the love for family whatsoever. He will purposely destroy families. Families will have no priority or no consideration for the Antichrist. Daniel 11:37 says, he shall regard neither the God of his fathers nor the desire of women. What's the desire of women? To have children, to have a family, to comfort, to care for, to love. Neither the God, capital G, of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall exalt himself above them all. No honor, no respect for human nature. 7, he will worship military power. He'll be hungry for military power. He'll worship it. There aren't enough guns, there aren't enough tanks, there aren't enough whatever the military needs to not only protect the United States, but to be a force to be reckoned with around the world. He'll build a military machine capable of ruling the entire world. Daniel 11:38 says, but in their place he shall honor a god of fortresses, and a god which his fathers did not know he shall honor with gold and silver, with precious stones and pleasant things. The force of the Antichrist will be one to be reckoned with. Touched on this, number 8, he claims to be God. The Antichrist will claim to be God. Paul tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Number 9, he does miracles. He does miracles. The devil does miracles. The devil has power, whether you know it or not. The devil has power. The devil can mimic, can copycat what God does. That's a scary thing. If there's ever been a time that we need discernment in the church, discernment in the minds of God's children, it's today. Why? Because there are many professing the name of God that may not be living the name of God. There are many professing to know the Word of God, and they may know it, but the basis is not God at all. The only way to know the difference between the two is discernment of the Word of God, to know the spirit of the one giving. Paul says, the coming of the lawless one, this is 2 Thessalonians 2:9, the coming of the lawless one is according to the work of Satan, with all power, signs, and wonders. Satan can do miracles. We have to be careful. If we follow the signs, everybody wants to see a magic show. How did he do that? And so people are drawn to that. How did he make that handkerchief disappear? Well, that's something like, well, how did he make that arm grow back? We think immediately, well, that's the power of God. As we approach the Antichrist, that will not necessarily be the truth. The only way you'll know is the spirit that delivers it. because Satan will use things that he knows will get our attention and will draw us that may not be God at all, maybe totally contrary to God, because the devil will have the power to do, it's written right here in the Word of God, have the power, signs, and lying wonders, the Bible says. So just because somebody says, I pray 23 hours a day, that sounds good, doesn't it? Look at the spirit of that person. Because the devil prays too. But he doesn't pray to God. This is just a warning that I believe Jesus wants us to know about. If we follow the smoke and mirrors, we could be led down the wrong path. If we follow the signs without knowing the author of this book, we may be led down the wrong path. That's why you hear me say all the time, we've got to first know Jesus. We've got to know God. We've got to know this book. We've got to be in unity with God. Because there are spirits, and it's nothing like it's going to be. There are spirits that want to pull your attention away from God, and they'll do everything that they can to do that. The devil is sly. Satan acts like God by doing supernatural miracles. We just read it. 10, the Antichrist is from hell. The Antichrist is from hell. He's inspired by evil. He's satanically energized. He prays. He gets his instruction from the devil. Revelation 11:7 says, when they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit, that's hell, will make war against them, overcome them, and kill them, speaking of God's people. And what makes the tribulation so horrific is that Satan will, at the time of the rapture, begin. He'll step up his work at the time of the rapture. Why? Because he knows then that he's lost some that he could have taken, and so he steps up to get those others that are left. That's why we don't want to be anywhere around here when he comes back. I want us together. It don't matter if you're 6 hours away from here. We got people scattered all over the place, and that's around the world, Africa. We've got missionaries everywhere. But as long as we're in tune with the same God, when that happens, we're going to be caught up. And I don't want us here when all this happens. This is just a warning. This is the warning, I believe, from the Spirit of God, and it's very timely. Revelation 12:9 says, so the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Can you imagine living on earth during this time with no church? There'll be no churches. What time you have with God will be up to you. Because the churches, if they were churches, there might be church buildings with people left that really weren't serious with God. But there won't be the church, the capital C church. It'll be carried away. Number 11, the Antichrist is empowered by Satan. We've already alluded to that. He's empowered. He receives his energy from Satan. Satan is the life source for the Antichrist. Revelation 13:2. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. Remember? We just read that in Daniel. Here we are in Revelation 13:2. He was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear. His mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him power, his throne, and great authority. That's what the Antichrist will be given from Satan. He's empowered by Satan, given the power, given his throne, and great authority. There are no rulers in history that will come anywhere near the ruler of the Antichrist, the ruling of the Antichrist. 12, he's assassinated and then resurrected. The Antichrist will be assassinated and resurrected, brought back to life. Revelation 13:3. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. Wasn't the power of God that did that. I remember I told this story. We were on a cruise many, many years ago, and we actually docked at, we were at Royal Caribbean, and we docked at in the Bahamas somewhere, Nassau. We docked at Nassau, and just so happened the first time I had wore a bow tie in ages. That tells you how many years ago this was. I was standing right here behind this pulpit, and I wore a bow tie that Sunday. Well, we were leaving for that cruise that afternoon, and this must have been sometime during that week that we were there. So I wore a bow tie that Sunday. Well, so we were walking around the straw market. I think it's burned down since then and was rebuilt, so it doesn't look like it looked back then. But the outside of that straw market was real open. And so Chris and I, during that day off, we were walking around the island of Nassau, and we had circled through, and we were stopping at a couple different places here and there. And I walked by, and there was a lady standing there, and she was watching me. I mean, her eyes just about burned a hole in me. And I looked, and she said, "I see you. I see you with that bow tie on standing behind there. I see you." And we walked, and then it hit me what she said. I said, "Honey, she saw me last Sunday, and it's in the middle of the week. The hairs on my arm are standing up right now." And said, "She saw you." And I said, "Let's go back. I'm going to ask her if she knows Jesus Christ." We turned around, and it was only 2-3 minutes later, turned around to go back, and she was gone. Nowhere to be found. So I don't know. All I know is what she said, and I picked up on the Spirit. It took me a second to realize what she said. And like, let me see, you weren't in church last Sunday, and how did you know what? So the Satan has powers. He has the ability, and we have to discern between what is good and what is evil. And I'll tell you, after about 2 or 3 seconds of walking and getting past that thing, the Spirit of God hit me in the gut. That's evil. That's of the devil. So I was going to go back and say, "Do you know Jesus Christ?" And just see where that led. I don't know where it would have led to. It might have led to a swing. I don't know. But she wasn't there. Be careful what signs we follow. See, it's people like that, the palm readers, and let me tell you what's going to happen next Tuesday, and you get the newspaper and you find out what you need to do starting today being August. What have we got to do this month to be successful? So we read the horoscopes. We get our word and our direction from that. Do you think that comes from the Bible? Do you think that comes from God? No. Uh-uh. So you're opening yourself up to demonic situations then. You're being led by, not by God. You're being led by opposite of God. You're being led by the devil. And so he slips in what so seems so innocent and so trivial. Do we open ourselves up to following those things that the devil is getting us geared up? Be careful. Everything that glitters is not gold. Everything that says God is not capital G God. Everything that calls a prayer meeting is not a prayer meeting. Be careful. It's good to know who you're in the company of. Jesus went about teaching and winning the lost and loving those. And you know if you know me 30 days, you know that I love the lost and I want to do all that we can to reach the lost. So that being said, we've got to be careful of our inner circle so that we're not influenced by them, but that we're influencing them. We've got to be sure that Jesus is the influencer rather than the devil being the influencer. We've seen too many times over the years that great people wind up with the wrong crowd, and you know who influences who? More times than not, the bad influences the good. Now, the good has the potential in Jesus Christ to influence the bad, and that's what we're called to do. But if you're not strong enough to do it, you need to call in some support. Make sure you've got a good support system to where you can influence. God wants us in all the places, workplaces, in the restaurants, in the bars, and the people where people are hurting and aching. That's where Jesus wants us. He does. That's why he went to the well, talked to the lady, and broke the law to do it. His intention was to to get to her and to influence her, good over evil. It's a side note, but I think that's been said for somebody. Be led by the Spirit of God. Revelation 13:12 says, "And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed." Wow, it looked great. It was impressive. How did he die and raised again? That must be God. This is the warning. Number 13. I've never had this many points. Sweet Megan came to me this morning, and she said, "Pastor Mike, you sure do have a lot of scripture, a lot of points today." I said, yeah, I do. And bless her heart, she's one of the ones, like Juan, came to me a few weeks ago and said, "Pastor Mike, give me something to do. God sent me here, and I want something to do." I said, "Praise God." So we gave her something to do. And she said, "Well, bless God, you've got a lot of points today." I've never, ever said point 13. Never in my life. He will demand worship. The Antichrist will demand worship. It will not be enough to be respected. He'll demand worship. See, with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it wasn't good enough that they were there, but they had to kneel. If you don't kneel, you're going to be put in the fire. So that's the way the Antichrist will be. He will not be happy or satisfied. He must demand worship. Revelation 13:4 says, "So they worshiped the dragon and gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, 'Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?'" Do those words sound familiar? Who is like the Lord? Well, isn't that interesting that the Antichrist is saying the same thing? Who is like the beast? Exodus 15:11 says, "Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" That's the God that we know. That's the God that we serve. But then in Revelation 13:4, we see that the dragon, the beast, the Antichrist will call himself God and will demand worship. Psalm 35:10 says of our God, "All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like you, delivering the poor from him who is too strong for him? Yes, the poor and the needy from him who plunders him." And last point, he is the model of pride and power. He's the model of pride and power. He's self-centered. He's self-seeking. He's power-motivated. He's a manipulator. He's a controller. And if anything goes against that, it's not good. He's the model of pride and power. Revelation 13:5-7 says, "And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months, 3.5 years. Then he opened his mouth and blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name. He blasphemed God's name, God's tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven." That's saints, that's Christians. "It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation." You may ask who the saints are. The saints are those who are left after the tribulation period to dwell on earth. That's going to be an awful 7 years of tribulation. Those are the saints. Those are the ones that the Antichrist will go after because there's no protection. The last place we want to be is on earth during those 7 years of tribulation. It'll be a time of reigning by the Antichrist. But there'll be some to remember. You know what? I remember what Pastor Mike said about loving God. I remember what in that small group, I remember on Monday night talking about loving God and serving God. I remember on Wednesday morning at Ladies Bible Study what was being said and what was being taught. I remember on Wednesday night at the Mox House, I remember on Tuesday night at Brother Gary's house talking about the goodness of God. I remember all those things now, and maybe they did know what they were talking about. Maybe that is the Word of God. So there will be people left during this time that will draw near to God, but they will be put to the test, the ultimate test. Their life will depend on them worshiping the Antichrist or their life being taken. Mark 13:19. "For in those days there will be tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the creation which God created until this time, nor ever shall be. And unless the Lord, in verse 20 of Mark 13, unless the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, whom he chose, he shortened the days. In Revelation 13:8, and all who dwell on the earth will worship the Antichrist, says worship him, all who dwell on the earth, whose name has not been written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. This is the time of tribulation. This is the Antichrist. These are the characteristics that I need to give you because it's a warning from the Bible for all of us. But just as I started, let me also wrap up. Jesus is our hope. Jesus is our hope. Wherever you are today, whatever you're facing today, no matter how dim the outlook, no matter what you've got yourself into, Jesus is our hope. Jesus is greater than anything that we'll ever face. Physical, mental, financial, relationship, Jesus is greater. He is greater. Revelation 14:9-12 says this, then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast in his image and receives his mark on his forehead or his hand, we don't know what that mark is. There's been speculation, there's been talk. Verse 10, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night. Who worship the beast, his image, whoever receives the mark of his name, but this is it, verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Those will be saved. Jesus is our salvation. He's our deliverer. He's our source. He's our strength. What do you need today? Jesus is that. Well, that's impossible. No, all things are possible with Jesus Christ. And how can we be ready with everything that I've said, all of the warning that I've given you today? How can we be ready? We can dedicate our lives to Jesus Christ over again. See, today's a new day. The breath that we're taking right now is a new breath. That comes from the Lord. That heartbeat that you're feeling right now, that comes from Jesus. Anything is possible with God. To give you life right this second, it comes from God. We surrender our lives to Jesus Christ. We have faith in him. We follow him. We dedicate every part of our life. And this isn't just a Sunday thing. This is a lifestyle. Tonight, tomorrow, Tuesday through Saturday of next week, it's what we do. We follow Christ 24/7. We follow after him. Does that mean that we're not human anymore? We don't make any mistakes? We don't say anything we're not supposed to say? We don't do things? No, that means that even in our humanity, even in our place of human flesh, Jesus Christ is still Lord, and we can follow him. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me of those things that I've done. I turn from those things, and I go forward to be with you. And he says, you know what? You rotten thing, come on. I want you to be with me. He knows good and well how good we are, which is zero. That's why he's so good. Don't exempt yourself out of being a follower of Christ just because you're not good enough. You and I are just the ones he's after. Jesus loves you just like you are. We don't clean up before we come to him. We come to him and he cleans us up. And when we get right, when we get ready, you know what God wants to do? He wants to use you then to help others. Because you're in the circle of other people that need Jesus Christ too. Do you know Jesus? No. Do you want to know Jesus? There you go. Yes or no. Just like you and I, we've got to determine whether we say yes or no. Everyone else, given the opportunity, must make the same decision. If we can be ready for Christ 24/7, even in our failures, even in our humanity, and even in our fleshly form, if we can be ready, forever ready, God can use us to speak into the lives of those around us that need Jesus real bad. And you know what? They're looking in other places for it. The last place they're going to look, naturally, is the church. But Jesus Christ is still the one. He's still the one with all the answers. And if we focus our attentions, listen, if we focus our attentions on all the problems of the world, we'll be distracted from him. If we focus our attention on all the problems and all the things that aren't going our way and get distracted and get consumed with that, we're going to miss God altogether. That is just what the devil wants us to do. He wants us to get our eyes on the other things. He'll make this spin over here, and he knows just what buttons to push, doesn't he? I'll push that one right there. And he pushes it. You know what I'm talking about. And so the bad things in the world, let me tell you, Washington, D.C. probably will not get any better. Isn't that encouraging? But you know what? Is our faith in Washington or is our faith in God? So I'm going to get all bent out of shape because Washington isn't doing well. And I could miss God altogether for my life. For my life, for my family, for my children, for my grandchildren, and for you, for everybody that I come in contact with, all that because Washington is not going my way. Because he don't like me, she don't like me, and because this and that and the other. And again, I'm not downgrading what is, I'm just saying our priority must be Jesus Christ. If there's ever a day that we need to focus on Jesus, it's today in 2021. We can't let the devil get our eyes off of Christ. That's what he wants to do. Whether it's raising the Antichrist from the dead, whether it's speaking evil in your life, whether it's ruling you, reigning you, saying something against your desire, whatever he can do to mash those buttons for me and you, that's exactly what he wants to do. How many people can he discourage by taking you out? That's his calculation. How many people can be encouraged and blessed by keeping you in? That's the purpose of Jesus Christ. And our eyes must be on him to do that. Crawford, come on up. I'm going to ask the worship team to get ready. We're going to receive communion this morning. I think it's a great day to do that. It's because of the price Jesus paid. It's because of him hanging on the cross. It's because of his death, his going to the tomb, being raised from the grave on the third day. All that Jesus has done has been for you and I. This is a good day to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ, to remember what he's done. What has he done? He's given us life, and life forevermore, today and for all eternity. That's what he's done. But he's done some great things. And like Elder Roth was talking earlier, he has blessed us. He's blessed us. Chris and I, almost every day when we have 5 minutes, we say, honey, how can it be that God blesses us so much? And just when we think God's tapped out and he says, I don't have any more blessings, he said, okay, here's another one. He said, I've got something else for you too. God is good. He's awesome. That doesn't mean we don't have problems. But you know what, family? We can come together and deal with the problems. We can knock the devil right in the teeth, kick him in the stomach, and say, listen, I'm here to stay. I ain't going anywhere. And you know what? We can do that by the power of Jesus Christ. Let's stand together this morning. I want to encourage you with the hope of Jesus. I want to encourage you with the hope of Jesus to keep our eyes on him, and only him. He can work out all these details. They're minor. Somebody said he majors in the minors and minors in the majors. Praise God, whatever. You know, God's got it under control. He majors in the majors too. God's good. Let's pray together. Father, I want to thank you for your word again.